Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your host from SteelersDepot.com, where you can find all your latest and greatest Steelers news. It's Dave Bryan and Alex Cazzora, always Lynn, talking Steelers. And now, here's Dave and Alex.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, Season 14, Episode 121. He's Dave Bryan. I'm Alex Cazzora, SteelersDepot.com. And welcome back. It is still Wednesday. We had just finished up Episode 120, the usual show going over our final mock drafts. And true to form, about, 20, 30 minutes after Dave and I wrapped up, news came out about Alex Highsmith's contract restructuring. Normally in a vacuum, not requiring an emergency episode of the podcast, but Dave, this one could have big implications heading into the NFL draft. Oh boy, buckle up, my friend. Could be a wild ride.
Yeah, I'm glad you got your full seven-round mock posted and all like that, because that thing might be what's evergreen or whatnot. It might get stale super quick here, but yeah, let's pound out 30 minutes and kind of talk through this and the not just the significance of the actual restructure, but more so really the timing of it, obviously in relation to the draft coming up and with all the smoke coming out of social media about the Steelers potentially making a trade for a wide receiver and all like that. So where would you like to start? The actual restructure?
Yeah, let's lay the groundwork first about what happened with Highsmith, and then we'll talk about what it could mean for Pittsburgh going forward. So walk us through the restructure of Alex Highsmith's contract.
Right. Now, to begin with, this was a restructure that probably had a very strong chance of happening at some point during the offseason, more than likely towards the end of training camp or preseason and all, was kind of when I was thinking that such a restructure would happen. Now, here's what we don't have the finer details, but we can guess the finer details based on Ian Rappaport's initial report saying that the Steelers did a simple restructure on Alex Highsmith to create more than $7 million. Well, if you do the math, you break out the spreadsheet and you do a normal restructure with the years remaining on his contract, and you take his base salary in 2024, which was scheduled to be $10.733 million, and you take it down to the minimum of $1.125 million, which is a minimum base salary allowed for a player with his credited seasons, and then you turn that money into the difference between $10.733 million and $1.125 million, and then you turn that into a signing bonus and then prorate it over the deal, you get a cap savings in total of $7.206 million. All right, so that in and of itself, the actual restructure being done and the amount cleared, there's no surprise there whatsoever. Alex Highsmith's salary cap charge right now should be $6.27 million down from $13.933 million if indeed this was a full regular restructure, which it sounds like it is. So now, any more questions about the actual restructure?
No, and again, as you said, not a surprise. You figured it would happen at some point this offseason, correct?
Right. Now, let's look at the significance of the timing in relation to the draft, in relation to the current cap or the cap space this team had prior to the restructure. Going into today, the team had a little bit more than $12 million in available 2024 salary cap space. That is more than enough salary cap space to carry this team through the draft and getting their draft pick signed and undrafted free agents, because of the roster displacement aspect of signing all those players to deals. Realistically, this team was going to have to have set aside around $3.8 million after displacement to get all their draft picks signed, to get all their undrafted free agents signed. So $12 million obviously was more than enough for that. It was also more than enough for this team to add had, you know, a couple veteran low-priced free agents after the draft on some veteran benefit deals or a little bit slightly more than that. So they had plenty of salary cap space to work with through most of the offseason. Now, were they going to have to restructure the Alex Highsmith contract at some point due to other forthcoming costs later on closer to the start of the season, like practice squad, 52nd, 53rd player, however much room they need going into the 2024 regular season, which I have tabbed as around $6 million. So the timing aspect of this is the big story here, because on top of it too, now, if this team only had like $2 or $3 million in salary cap space and this got done, now you probably wouldn't blink. At least if they had enough to maybe cover their rookie class and a little bit more, you probably wouldn't blink and eye at it too much. Normally, the Steelers, if they're not in a pinch for salary cap space, they put off these restructures until later in the offseason. That way, they make sure the player gets through training camp unscathed, no serious injury, that kind of stuff. So, once again, the timing of this is the biggest story. There's no rule, you know, no rule saying they couldn't do it now versus there's no penalty doing it now versus later on in the offseason, that kind of thing. But it is curious, the timing, when they already had $12 million free. They jump up to over $19 million free, and it happens right before the draft, and it happens with all this smoke coming out about them potentially trading for a wide receiver. And as I mentioned in an article, and I know you've highlighted this already in an article that I wrote a couple of weeks ago, I wrote about the signs we'd probably see if the Steelers were indeed going to be serious about trading for a wide receiver, you know, a more expensive wide receiver just ahead of the draft there. And that, I think, do you remember what, do you have that article, how much cap space they had at a time? I know it might be what it is now, which is a little bit over 12 million. Do you have that article pulled up?
I can pull it up while you talk.
But the reason I wrote that at the time was because they had dipped under what basically it would cost to inherit the contract of as it sits in its former current form of Brandon Ayuk on his fifth year option amount and all like that. So
when you wrote that post on the 13th, they were at 12.005 million in cap space.
All right, that's exactly where they still were at ahead of this Alex Highsmith restructure there. So the reason I wrote that post once again is they had dipped under the fifth year option amount of Ayuk, and, you know, basically, long story short, that you know, they would probably have to create salary cap space in some way or shape or form if they were to trade for a more expensive wide receiver, because in trading for someone like that that's under contract, you first have to accommodate their current salary underneath your own salary cap, and then you go about, you know, maybe doing an extension or something along those lines to lower the cap hit of the player that you just acquired. So that was the reason behind that article a couple of weeks ago. And in that article, I said if they were to create cap space, it would probably be via a restructure, and it would probably be about $7.2 million, and it would probably be the contract of Alex Highsmith because he has the freshest contract on the books. Well, fast forward to where we are right now. That has happened. And now, look, I don't know if they're going to trade. I obviously don't know for sure if they're going to trade for a wide receiver. But there is a lot more reason to think that they might now at this point. Because other than that, there's no real good reason this early in the offseason to go from 12 to $19.1 million in salary cap space. You remember the old South Park Chef Aid episode where the Chewbacca defense was given?
I do. That was one of the classic episodes. I mean, I'm not sure where you're going with this. This does not make sense kind of thing? Or what are we going at?
But it makes sense. You would be correct. Alex.
Oh, God. Okay.
Why would a Wookiee, an 8-foot-tall Wookiee, want to live on Endor with a bunch of 2-foot-tall Ewoks? That does not make sense.
I can't believe you can quote that verbatim. pat you on the back.
Well, that's the Chewbacca defense. Mm-hmm. And basically, we're in a situation here where it's hard to explain why they would do the restructure right now, if not for the reason to at least give themselves the ability on the fly to trade for a more expensive player. And obviously, in this case right now, all the talk seems to be around, you know, Brandon Ayuk and Cortland Sutton from the Broncos the last several days here. Who knows who else at this point? But at the very least, they have got themselves in a position cap wise where, quite honestly, they could trade for anybody that has a cap charge that they would have to inherit of under $19 million. And there's not a lot, you know.
T. Higgins, they couldn't get, right? He's over that number.
What is T. Higgins?
T. 20 plus 22 number in my head right now. Not that we ever expected it. He's supposed to stay in Cincinnati. The Bengals wouldn't trade him to Pittsburgh, but just to throw that.
Right. He was 21.816. Right. Now, I suppose you could go ahead and cut a player this afternoon, you know, with enough cap charge to free up, you know, an additional amount to accommodate that, you know. Put it to you this way, they're a lot closer to even being able to do something like that should the need arise. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, too, you'd have roster displacement as soon as a guy like T. Higgins hit. So what's the bottom? Break out your toes and your calculator here. 21.816. And what's the bottom 51 roster number right now? And subtract 985,000 from that.
That gets you to 20.83. So still about a million off.
Yeah, you're close. You know, you're close. Put it this way, you could make that happen, you know.
Yeah, but obviously we don't expect that to happen. I'm just putting that aside. Point is, if you wanted Ayuk, if you wanted Sutton, you can make it happen.
Right. And obviously, if you made a deal along those lines, you would think that the immediate byproduct of that, you would think they're talking to the agent of the player already and seeing what a contract extension would look like. I don't think you would want to trade for a player and then bring him into your facility with such a large cap hit and then be at the mercy of trying to get the deal done after the fact because you want to free back up that salary cap space for later in the offseason.
Sure. My stance on this news, antenna went up the second that I saw Rappaport talk about it and tweet it out, is I don't know if they will trade for a wide receiver this weekend, but they're going to try. They're going to try to make that move for Ayuk or Sutton, something big like that. We know they've been in on Ayuk. That's been, I think, well reported. They've at least shown interest. To what degree, that's much more debatable. But whether you're talking Mike Florio, whether you're talking Jerry Dulac, whether you're just talking the general vibe of it all right now, they have shown interest in Ayuk. And then Sutton comes along too, which Jeremy Fowler pointed to, Pittsburgh, a team to watch on Wednesday morning. So if it doesn't work out, if they can't land a trade, then that's okay. You're going to restructure Highsmith later anyway. There's no consequence to it. The space is there. You're not really hurt by it. But if you can make a deal happen, you can immediately take on that contract and then work on a long-term deal from there.
Right. This does not guarantee anything is going to happen, but oh boy, does it sure put you in a position where you can call and inquire to your heart's delight right now, you know, for sure. But I mean, that once again, it's not the actual act of the restructure. It's the timing of this combined with all the smoke blowing around about, you know, them potentially trading for a player. That's the news story right here.
Sure. If this happens in June, nobody bats an eye. It happens 24 hours before the draft, after you had written 2 weeks ago, if this were to occur with Ayuk or somebody like that, there are things that will have to happen to make that possible, to open that door. And you called it. You said Highsmith restructure, that'd be one of the signs. And so there's no fire, but there's probably as much smoke as there was around Dave Ryan every weekend in his 20s, I'm guessing, right now. And we'll see if any embers come
easy,
up.
Easy, easy there.
But yeah, I think they're gonna try. They're gonna make that move. They're gonna be aggressive. They want to get that veteran wide receiver to support this passing game, this offense that has been so stagnant. They tried with Mike Williams. He didn't come to Pittsburgh. He signed with the Jets, the first team that he visited. So there's obviously some desire. They were looking for a veteran receiver after trading Deontay and all the smoke on Ayuk, on Sutton. We'll see. Again, I said before on the earlier show, I'm along for the ride, but we'll be watching.
Yeah, look, there's a lot more chance now, I feel, for something to happen than obviously when we got off the pod earlier in the day. Now, I mean, there's so many, you know, would it be Ayuk? Would it be Sutton? I don't know. I have had thoughts run through my head. What if it is Ayuk? What would that look like? Could you see a swap of 20 and a swap of first round picks and then something else be part of that? In other words, the Steelers go down to 31, the 49ers go up to 20, and then obviously there'd probably be some other compensation involved or something like that. That did run through my head. And if the Steelers moved down to 31, who would they be looking at drafting there? The thing about Denver is Denver, when you're talking about draft picks that Denver have, they have the 12th overall pick, and then their next pick isn't until the third round, 76 overall.
Right. They were mentioned by Tony Pauline as one of those potential trade down teams in that report that he had written yesterday about Pittsburgh trying to come up for Quinyon Mitchell. Whether or not you believe that, you know, not important. The point is that there has been a lot of speculation Denver might move down into the 20s and get Bo Nix and acquire, say, a second round pick or get some more capital because they are lacking right now.
All right. And I mean, other than the Steelers moving up to 12, you know, let's say this was all about trying to trade for Sutton. And as we said in your show earlier today, it's hard to imagine a first or second rounder being involved in that, right?
On the Sutton, yeah, I can't see that at all. I would say 98, and even I got some pushback there. I don't know exactly what it would cost. There might be multiple picks involved, some swapping, which has become increasingly common. Pittsburgh's done that in a bunch of their deals this year. But that's kind of a loose framework of what I think it would required to get Sutton. Would you have to do an extension with him? He's under contract for what, 2 more years, correct?
Well, I mean, why is he wanting out in the first place, do you suppose?
Yeah, I don't know if it's just general unhappiness. I mean, obviously those things are often financially related, so I'm just wondering if you would have to do it immediately, or would you be able to wait a little bit on that happening?
Well, here's what you could do technically with him, because he is what, Sutton's 29 now?
He's 28. He'll be 29 in October.
All right. He is under contract for 2025 as well, too. So here's another way you could probably attack that. He is due $13 million base salary this year, and you would obviously, unless you could get Denver to pay some of that, and the way Omar works sometimes, who the hell knows? I know better than to rule that out. But let's assume
Denver just pay for. Oh, is it the Zach Wilson deal? Who's paying? The Jets are paying for some of that still.
I believe that was. Okay. I believe the Jets had to pay some of that. But let's assume you had to bring on that whole $13 million base salary in 2024 for Sutton, and he's got some other per game roster bonuses, and I think another $100,000 roster bonus in there. But what you would probably do in lieu of it, you know, there's nothing that says you can't give him an extension or what have you. But what you could do if you did not want to extend him and you wanted to get his cap number down, well, then I guess you would just take that $13 million down as low as you can and give it to him in a signing bonus and go that way with it, you know?
Sure. And then just to throw even more wrinkles on top of that, did Brandon Ayuk's price tag just go up? Amon-Ra St. Brown just got paid 4 years, $120 million, making him the highest paid receiver in football. We'll have to see the contractual details, obviously top line numbers, which are agent pushed and, you know, reported can change that. But Ayuk, you know, we were talking 25 plus. Are we talking now closer to 30, if not more than 30?
I mean, it's, you would think it's 25 plus, you know, insert number there. I mean, what, Tyreek Hill's the highest paid at $30 million new money average, right?
Well, St. Brown got 4 years, 120, right? That's the big picture view of this contract.
Well, right? I mean, we have to see you know.
Sure, but average yearly value, which is what we're talking about here, that's what the report is. If that's the report, then Ayuk, I think, is he going to want less than that? And we know Justin Jefferson's going to probably get paid here by the end of the summer.
Right. So, I mean, it's definitely up there. Once again, the big news, especially if a guy like Ayuk, if you traded for Ayuk and you turn around and gave him a mega deal like that, I mean, that's the news, not the actual action of, even though it's big news that they would make a trade like that. The big news would be the average yearly money from an outsider right after a trade in the hierarchy of the things that. I mean, it's not to the masses. It is to nerd Dave, you know, mm-hmm. but I mean, it would break so much precedent of this team to go out and do something like that. That's why I've said all along, the issue isn't getting the deal done, so to speak, however that looks like. It's what the aftermath after you got him in the building, what that would look like. In my opinion, that would be the biggest story of it all.
Yeah, and then obviously the structure, you do, if you're going to pay Ayuk though $30 million or so, you may do the multi-year, you know, guarantees, because Pittsburgh has been reserving that for top of the market guys. What did Fitzpatrick get, a second year guaranteed?
He got some in the second year.
Some in the second year. So there was some compromise there. But if Ayuk is going to be literal top of the market at the time it signed or right there, then, you know, Pittsburgh maybe, if you're trading capital for him, willing to pay him that amount of money, then you probably aren't going to draw a hard line on the guarantees at that point.
Right. And then, I mean, you're really taking the lid off the precedent then, right? Because
but if you're staying still top of the market, you're staying consistent with what you've been doing recently.
Sure. You could still hide behind the excuse, well, these were market reset deals.
Right, which is what they've been doing, because they've not given it to all of the other guys.
Right. It was a market reset with Watt. It was a market reset with Minka at the time. And you would, you would assume it would be market reset market reset with Ayuk.
Right. If St. Brown got 30, I don't know how Ayuk's coming in at 25 at this point. I don't know where exactly he would come in at, but I can't see him being that far off.
Right. And as we said in the podcast earlier this morning, Courtland Sutton already has, maybe Courtland Sutton just wants out just because he wants out. And maybe mm-hmm. he's okay with the $15 million average per year of that deal that he signed. When did he sign that extension with the Broncos?
It's a good question. 2 years ago. I'm just kind of guessing. I can look it up here, obviously. 2021, November, okay. 2021.
All right. So it's been a few years. So maybe he thinks he's underpaid as well, too. You know?
Yeah. So I don't know which one it would be. If I'm Pittsburgh,
now obviously you're not going to pay him no $30 million or anything like that. No. And if you did an extension with him, he might be one that you get away with not giving the more than the first year guarantee with, especially at his age and all like that, you know.
Sure. He would certainly be cheaper in what you have to trade to acquire him, and in contract, there's no question about that. But Ayuk, of course, is the better player, younger, really in the prime of his career. So that's a debate and a discussion Pittsburgh would have to have if they can even pry away Ayuk, because the 49ers still don't have a great incentive to deal him. I mean, they could still hold on to him, and they're not going to obviously give this guy away. So, you know, I think maybe Denver might be more open to a trade than San Francisco is right now, but it just depends on the offers.
Is there any other wide receivers you can envision this team having interest in?
I mean, my thought, and I was kind of getting to the point of, if you're going to make a trade for a receiver, go big or go home. Go with Ayuk. I mean, yeah. I understand if they bring in Sutton, I understand it's cheaper and, you know, you're not paying the guy $30 million. But if you're going to make a move, dude, go make a move. Go big here. That'd be my standpoint. I know Scary Terry, McLaurin, and Washington's been mentioned, but really it does not sound like Washington has an appetite to do that when they're going to go draft a quarterback and probably Jaden Daniels and go trade their top receiver out. I thought about Devontae Adams. I know these are big picture names here that we don't talk about too often, but if we're talking Ayuk at $30 million, you know, walking on ice, you might as well dance. Adams was unhappy. I think he's happier now that Pierce is the head coach. Thought about even AJ Brown was seemingly unhappy in Philadelphia late last year, the Arthur Smith connection. Again, those things are, I think, far more unlikely, but if you want to just, we're talking names. All again, right. I don't want to talk for that third string receiver. He might be something I want dudes. I want some guys that can play, and I know that they can play. You got to go with some big names here.
Well, like I said, in one of the writings, one of the several writings on Ayuk, and I think even in a podcast, I mean, that's a needle mover, Ayuk.
Oh yeah,
we're pushing the chips in, brother. This is serious, you know.
Yeah. We want to win, and that goes to the urgency. Why has Pittsburgh done some of the moves that they've made? It's the urgency. It's this feeling of, we have not won a playoff game in 7 years. That needs to change. It needs to change right now. And they're right. It needs to change. And these moves would reflect that.
And the byproduct of any wide receiver that you would to potentially trade for right now, or you know, in the first round of a draft or whatever, here is it puts you in less of a need for that position in the draft. You could still take the position in the draft if you wanted to, but you wouldn't have to pencil in the second, or you know, you could put another position ahead of that, quite honestly, and you could go get a Luke McCaffrey in the fourth, or you could wait until the sixth round and get the kid out of Michigan or what have you, you know. Mm-hmm. So it puts a lot less pressure on needing to fill that position in a draft. With, you know, obviously, look, we like a lot of these wide receivers in this year's draft, but they're all unknowns until they play, right?
Right. I made the joke of, you draft somebody and hopefully that guy becomes Brandon Ayuk. Well, just go get Brandon Ayuk, get the sure thing in his prime. Yes, you have to pay him. Yes, there's a cost to it, but I'll pay good players that can help me win right now for where Pittsburgh is at. I just wonder on, you know, I understand your point about the contract maybe being trickier than the draft capital, but what would it cost to get Ayuk? The reporting is, from Ian Rappaport today, from Michael Silver yesterday, the Niners won a first-round pick. I think that's probably a good opening ask. They're not going to start at a third-round pick or something. They're going to ask for something big, and maybe something gets worked from there. I wonder if it compromises a 2025 first-round pick. I don't know if Pittsburgh wants to give up 20 right here, right now, with the O-line needs, and they'd lose out on guys potentially by 51. Could a 2025 first-round pick be the sweet spot to get a deal done?
Well, what about something like I said? What is the actual value in allowing a team to move up? What would that be? 11 spots in the first round this year. In other words, swapping ones this year plus.
But what's the plus? It's got to be a lot. It's 11 spots. They're going.
I don't know. I mean, you know.
Think to trade away one of the stud receivers.
Yeah, but I mean, look. Yeah, you know you're not going to get a deal done with him, and there's only so many trade partners out there, and you know Omar's going to try to run as tough a bargain as he can. Sure. And I don't know. I mean, I suppose it could be
lay it out. What do you think? If 20 and 31, what else does Pittsburgh have to give up? I think at least the second.
I'd give them a three. I would try to swap the first round picks. I'd give them my lower third this year and a third next year.
Man, if he does that, build a statue today. I mean,
and I'm just spitballing.
I know. We're not talking concretely here, but I mean, at some point, the Niners got to get something back in return to replenish and to have some sort of safe face here, because they can still hold on to Ayuk. And what even says they can't pay the guy what he's asking for?
Sure.
I'm sure they could if they really wanted to.
But if you got to the point where maybe you're entertaining trade offers, you probably, you know, like we had said a couple of days ago, you probably got a sense of whether or not you're walking down the right street or not, right?
No, I understand. I get that. But Lynch just said they were working on contract talks. Maybe they don't open up offers. Maybe this is more smoke. Yeah, teams are calling, but there's really no indication the Niners are listening or negotiating right now.
Right, but I mean, if I'm him, I'm not taking the Ryan Poles route of we know we're probably going to have to get rid of him. You know, mm-hmm. I'm holding the firm line. Yeah, sure. We think we could get something done with him. No, we're not entertaining any trade. How many times have we seen that over the years? Oh no, we're not trading them until we trade them.
Sure, you know? No, I get that. Again, I know the Niners are smartly having a hardline posture here, as they should. And Lynch did kind of open the door a bit when he said he anticipates Ayuk being with the team through draft weekend. Not ironclad. Yes, he will be. He will be a 49er. He said he anticipates it, which is not a guarantee that he will. But even on that trade term, I don't know. I think Pittsburgh will have to get something to get Ayuk.
Right. But the question of what that is, I mean, we'll see. You know, all right. To reset all this, The reason we're having this kind of emergency podcast is the actual timing of the restructure of Alex Highsmith in relation to all the smoke. You know, this is ahead of the draft. The team already had $12 million in cap space to work with through after the draft until later in the offseason. And then obviously all the smoke out there about them potentially trading for somebody. Will anything actually happen? I mean, stay tuned at this point, man. Just a few hours ago, I said my gut was that the 49ers weren't going to trade Brandon Ayuk.
Has your gut changed?
Yeah, I'm gonna need some Pepto-Bismol or something. Yeah. I think I got to go to the bathroom. look, it's a lot more likely to happen now, at least on the Steelers side of things, than it was 2.5-3 hours ago.
I agree. I'm not going to make a prediction. I don't know what's going to happen. Certainly, the odds are there. The chance is there, and it's more than a 1% chance. It is a real chance that they make a move for one of these two guys. Let me ask you one last thing, Dave. Some people were saying, well, is this not about a receiver? Could they be making a move to go sign a free agent post-draft, which, you know, the Monday the comp period ends, free agency kind of picks back up. Pittsburgh has made signings the last 2 years post-draft, smaller signings, but could they go target? You mentioned Xavier Howard. Are we worried about him this morning?
Yeah, but ideally, what kind of player, free agent, are you talking about? The price and their actual cap hit that you couldn't fit under $12 million, along with your $3.8 million that you need to have set aside for the draft class of free agents. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, $12 million in cap space this late in the offseason for the kind of free agents that the Steelers normally go after is a lot of cap space. And now they have 19.1, you know?
Sure. No, that's my thought, too. I don't know what free agent would cost so much that it would really cause that kind of a crunch. And listen, even for signing a rookie class, they don't get signed the day after the draft. They don't get signed usually until June. They've been kind of earlier lately, but some of them don't get signed until July. And so it's not like you need that money immediately post-draft. It's going to be weeks before these guys sign. And typically the first rounder might be a little bit longer while you work on offset language. Pittsburgh's in that kind of weird 20 spot in the middle right there. So it's not like you need the rookie class money today or tomorrow or next week.
True.
Again, to me, this signals receiver. It wouldn't necessarily signal another move. Not guaranteeing it's happening. But again, my stance is Pittsburgh will try, and we'll be talking about this throughout draft weekend.
All right. So in 2 more hours, when the Steelers make a deal, we'll be back on this podcast.
Emergency. It's an inception version of the podcast within the podcast.
All right. Hopefully that's, you know, we just felt it necessary, you know, to record this and kind of give our thoughts ahead of the draft, and especially with this news today and the timing of it and all like that. So hopefully we provided some useful information for everybody to chew on. And yeah, like Alex said, if anything else happens, I mean, we'll turn around and pop one of these up. And if not, the next one will be right after, not soon after the Steelers make their first pick, whenever that is. So in the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter /X at Steelers Depot. Follow Alex at Alex_Cazorra. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you like what we're doing, want to donate, SteelersDepot.com. Hit the donate button. Also, if you like an ad-free version of the site, SteelersDepot.com, hit the ad-free button, upper right navigational bar. Hope you enjoyed this 30-minute emergency podcast. And as always, thanks for listening to The Terrible Podcast with Dave and Alex.